Good morning, brothers, sisters, and young people. Our theme verse for this week is found in Colossians 3, verse 12. It states, "To put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering." The subject I want to speak to you about this morning is humility. We are told repeatedly throughout the Bible that we are to be humble. Moses was said to be the meekest man on earth in Numbers 12, verse 3. Now, Moses was a type of Christ, but of course Christ is the ultimate example of humility. He took on the very nature of a servant and humbled himself and became obedient to death. Christ was the only one with every right to be arrogant and prideful, yet he humbled himself. Humility is true strength, which lies in submission to God. It is a God-reliance, not a self-reliance. Pride is the opposite of humility. In this humanistic day and age, the world would teach us to be prideful from cradle to grave, but that is not what the Bible teaches. As Christadelphians, we are to have a completely different mindset than that of the world. In ancient Greek culture, humility and lowliness of mind were considered to be terms of derision and contempt. Weakness and lowliness were repulsive in Greek thought, just as they are in the modern age. The Greeks, as well as the world today, glorify themselves in strength, power, and assertiveness. That's the way the world thought in Paul's day, as well as the way the world thinks today. That was and is the spirit of the age, the course of this world. But the follower of Christ is not to be conformed to this world or the mindset of the world, but instead is to be transformed by the renewing of his mind. We are to separate ourselves from the world's view of life, from the world's way of thinking. We are to be humble strangers and pilgrims in this world of self-promotion and pride. We are not to glory in that which the world glories in, but we are to glory in that which God glories in. Yahweh has always stood opposed to the world's view of strength and might. Jeremiah 9, verse 23 says, "Let not the mighty man glory in his might." In Paul's day, the world disdained weakness, but Paul wrote, "When I am weak, then am I strong." The world disdained lowliness, but God said, "Whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." That's found in Luke chapter 18, verse 14. In 1 Peter 5, verse 5, we are told to be clothed with humility. This is essentially the same command as Paul gives in our theme verse of Colossians 3, verse 12, when he says to put on humbleness of mind. It takes conscious effort on our part to put on humility. It does not come naturally. Pride comes naturally as a result of Adam's sin. Humility does not. Muhammad Ali used to say, "It's hard to be humble when you're the greatest." The truth is, it is hard to be humble because it is our nature to be the opposite. Humility is the clothing God wants his children to wear. The world glories in strength, wisdom, and riches. They robe themselves in the garments of earthly glory, and from the earth's perspective, they think it makes them look good. They try to impress others with such beautiful garments. Those that are in Christ are to glory in humility. That is the garment that makes the new man in Christ look good from God's perspective. Now, Jesus addresses this truth about humility in Matthew chapter 18 when his disciples were arguing, even up to the night before Christ's crucifixion, about who would be greatest in the kingdom. This reflected their own pride and their concern about themselves over others. This reminds us of families that argue and fight over who's going to get what when a loved one dies, instead of expressing care and concern for those around them. (Clears throat) Jesus teaches us throughout his life and ultimately in his death that the proud or self-righteous person focuses on serving themselves and the humble person focuses on serving others. Jesus says the following in verses 1 through 4 of Matthew chapter 18. Starting at verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now there are so many beautiful examples that can be found in Scripture that Christ set for us to follow. A beautiful picture of humility can be seen in the washing of the disciples' feet. When Jesus was condemned to death on the stake, he prayed for his Father to forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgiving when it isn't easy is a strong example of humility. We will never know how strong we are until we have to forgive someone who isn't sorry or accept an apology that we never received. Are we that strong, or in other words, are we that humble? Being humble is also being teachable. In Isaiah, these words are recorded. This is the one to whom I will look. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Now a humble heart is receptive to change and open to being submissive to God. Do we place ourselves in God's hands to the exclusion of all doubt, insecurity, and fear? Humility is service without an attitude and a love that forgives unconditionally. It takes persistence, perseverance, flexibility, and above all, love. It involves a healthy self-forgetfulness, and in marriage, this is key. When a marriage consists of a husband and a wife whose ultimate goal is to do whatever it takes to please God and please the other person, the marriage will succeed. We should be preparing ourselves to be the bride of Christ. Others will be able to see Christ in us if we can do these things. Are we practicing the right attributes? When a person is truly humble, others are counted more significant than him or herself. That person is looking not to only his own interest, but also to the interest of others. If we truly humble ourselves in God's sight, then that will be manifested in humility towards one another, too. Do we listen when others are speaking without interrupting? When others are waiting on something, do we let them go first? When others need something, do we supply that need even if we need it ourselves? Thinking more highly of others than self and putting their interest ahead of ours is true humility. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. When a clam gets a grain of sand inside it, it becomes an irritant and begins to form a calcium deposit around the tiny grain of sand. In time, it becomes a precious pearl. In the ecclesia, we can irritate one another so easily, but in time, these tiny irritations can form us into a precious stone to God and create something beautiful. It is formed by walking in humility, gentleness, patience, and forbearance. True humility is learned behavior. It doesn't come naturally. It isn't genetic. It is learned. And we learn it by practice. So I want to close with a challenge for everyone here today. And I'm going to propose this challenge with a question. Can we find a way to show humility to one another today? Thank you.